From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, the UFO Highway. Here's what's happening. Well, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton start the race to November 8th on essentially even ground right now, with Trump edging Clinton by a scant 2 points among likely voters, and the contest sparking sharp divisions along demographic lines in a new CNN poll. Trump tops Clinton 45% to 43% in this new survey, with Libertarian Gary Johnson standing at 7% among likely voters in this poll, with the Green Party's Jill Stein at just 2%. The drumbeat of hammers echoes most mornings through suburban Denver, where Jay Small, the owner of a company that frames houses, is building about 1,300 new homes this year. That's more than triple what he built a few years ago, when you couldn't even buy a job in the residential construction industry. Now the builders can't even find enough workers to get the job done. 8 years after the housing bust drove an estimated 30% of construction workers into new fields, home builders across the country are struggling to find workers at all levels of experience, according to the National Association of Home Builders. The association estimates that there are approximately 200,000 unfilled construction jobs in the U.S., a jump of 81% in the last 2 years. Now, what does that mean about the economy? Let's check in with the expert, registered investment advisor Michael Shedlock. Mish, what do you think about all that?
Oh, the numbers are all over the place, George. Remember the talk of the September hike? Actually, let's go back. Let's go back to December of last year. They said they were going to hike 3 times, and then in April they said they were going to hike 2 times, and then last month Janet Yellen said we're going to hike. Guess what? The last payroll number was not very good. The ISM numbers were not very good. New home sales were good, but existing home sales were poor, and today, ISM numbers. The service economy collapsed versus expectations. Rate hike just completely came off the table. Now they're saying they're not going to hike in December. As we've been saying, George, this economy is a lot weaker under the surface. And I couldn't help but hear, you know, the report that you had on the commercial right before I came on, talking about how weak this economy was and people being angry. And this is what they're angry about, because it's not filtering down. The Fed is cutting interest rates, got negative interest rates in Europe, and all it's doing is booming asset prices, not for the benefit of you or I, George, but for the bankers.
All right, Mish, thanks. We'll see what happens. The fourth quarter is important to retail. Let's see what happens there. You know, the elderly woman snapped by a Playboy playmate showering at a gym has now come forward to Los Angeles police and wants the model to atone for her body-shaming blunder. Danny Mathers, who mocked the naked woman in her 70s in a July Snapchat photo that wound up going public, could now face up to 6 months jail time on a misdemeanor dissemination of private images charge. It's an amazing situation. The model's lawyer, who famously won Michael Jackson's acquittal in his 2005 child molestation case, says he hopes the rumor is not correct. A French woman who received the world's first partial face transplant has died 11 years after the surgery that set the stage for dozens of other transplants worldwide. The University Hospital in northern France announced that Isabelle Diony's death. It said that she died in April after a long illness, but her family wanted her death kept private. She was only 49 years old. In Euclid, Ohio, a man accused of pelting his former neighbor's Ohio home with eggs more than 100 times over the course of a year is scheduled to be sentenced. He's 31 years old. What is wrong with people? A record-setting American and two Russians have landed safely back on Earth after a six-month mission aboard the International Space Station. What else is going on in the sky? Let's check in with Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, George. So many wonderful things. Space fans, pay attention. There's a lot of exciting things, George, coming down the pipeline. In just a few days, that happens on the 8th, the excited and anticipated launch of the OSIRIS-REx spacecraft, one that's headed to this asteroid called Bennu, It'll be launched hopefully about 7.05 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on the 8th, and this is all carrying into space this precious cargo on an Atlas V rocket from Launch Complex 41. But George, we haven't talked about the Juno spacecraft in some time, but about a week or so ago, this particular spacecraft that we all are anticipating great results with what's happening on Jupiter passed an incredible 2,600 miles above Jupiter's cloud tops. We call that in space science a perijove, like perigee meaning closest to an object, and the opposite would be apogove. But what's interesting about this, the spacecraft's going 130,000 miles an hour. That's like you and I going from the Earth to the Moon in only 2 hours. Incredible. So the particular spacecraft Juno will now move from a 53.5-day orbit down to about that of a 14-day orbit sometime in October. But what we're seeing is amazing. The infrared cameras on there have imaged this most incredible series of pictures of Jupiter's southern aurora. We're seeing things we've never seen before, and that's the purpose of that spacecraft. Going on now, George, to the Rosetta spacecraft, the one that made history around Comet 67P, the little Thiele lander that's about the size of maybe a washing machine toppled over and we couldn't...
They found it!
They sure found it, and it's incredible. Get a load of this. From the height of the spacecraft Rosetta, it has a resolution of 2 inches, and you bet, you said it right, they found it, but Rosetta will be intentionally slammed into the comet by the end of September. And that's exciting space news. But in the live sky, George, as we conclude, folks looking into the sky over the next few days, follow the moon as it waxes. It'll be very close to Saturn on the evening of the 8th. Beautiful picture, an opportunity to take photographs. And then we'll be talking hopefully next week about the beautiful full moon of September, the harvest moon that has so much antiquity to it. So many wonderful things, that planetary conjunction of both, as we talked about last week, Saturn, Mars and the star Antares continues in the south just after sunset. George, we know, and I always like to say it, though, always remember to keep your eyes to the skies.
Absolutely. Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it. In West Haven, Connecticut, state inspectors have found more than 600 marijuana plants growing behind a Connecticut daycare center just last week. Police say arrests are forthcoming. Police were called to a home daycare center in West Haven after inspectors discovered the plants during a routine inspection. Did you know that there are 750,000 Americans arrested every year on some kind of marijuana-related charge? 750,000 people. 40,000 people incarcerated in jail because of it. And 1 out of 8 federal prisoners, it's a marijuana offense. In a moment, Jesse Ventura back on Coast to Coast AM, the former Minnesota governor, with Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Doy with you. Jesse Ventura, former independent governor of Minnesota, also a former Navy frogman, a professional wrestler, of course, a movie actor, visiting fellow at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government as well. He has hosted the True TV's Conspiracy Theory with Jesse Ventura and was on Aura TV's Off the Grid show for a number of years as well. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, one of our favorites. The latest book, Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto. Jesse, good to have you on.
Great to be here, George, and a great subject that we should be talking about at the time of an election.
Oh, my gosh. For years, I have endorsed this, especially for medicinal purposes. Got to ask you, Hillary's coughing. What do you think's happening there, Jesse? It's unbelievable.
With Hillary's what?
Coughing. She can't stop coughing during speeches.
Oh, I don't even watch them, so this is all news to me. She was in Cleveland.
I have no interest
whatsoever for voting for either her or Donald Trump. I will proudly cast my vote to Libertarian Gary Johnson, the former governor of New Mexico, and his running mate, the former governor of Massachusetts.
Latest poll, Johnson's got 7%, which is pretty good for a Libertarian independent type.
Well, many polls have him higher than that, but the sad part is will he be allowed in the debates? And here's the deal. Gary Johnson's polling higher than I was at Labor Day, and I was allowed in the debates in Minnesota, and in 60 days I went from polling at 10% to winning the
leadership
of Minnesota. because I was allowed in the debates and the people got an opportunity to hear another voice rather than a Democrat or Republican who are corporately owned, both of them.
You're not too happy with the two candidates, definitely, are you?
Oh, I'm not. That's why, unless Johnson and Dr. Stein are included in the debates, I won't even watch them. For what?
Yeah.
I'm not going to vote for either of these two people, so I don't care what they have to say.
Well, Jesse, what I was mentioning about Hillary, she was in Cleveland. It appears wherever she speaks, she can't stop coughing. I mean, and it goes on and on and on, and she drinks some water, and she clears her throat, and she starts coughing again. I think there's some health issues there.
Maybe she's smoking too much reefer.
Which is what we're going to talk about right now. Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on this. I have always thought, I'll tell you a story. Back in my St. Louis local days, I was the Nighthawk, did a little late-night TV and radio show, and I had guests on who were trying to get marijuana legalized in Missouri. Hasn't happened yet. Could happen this year, especially for medicinal purposes. They could not take prescription drugs. It made them sick. It addicted them. And so they switched to marijuana. They used marijuana. And their pain went away, and they weren't addicted. And they swore by it. When I saw them and how happy they were, I said, you know what? This is something that people should be able to use. And I've been a proponent ever since.
Well, let me tell you, in the foreword in my book is written by a gentleman named Steve Cubby. And I urge people to read about Steve's story. Steve was dying from incurable type of cancer. Marijuana, he's still alive. It stopped his cancer, and yet the government tried to jail him for growing the marijuana to keep himself alive. Without it, he's dead. And he wrote the foreword of my book, and it's heart-wrenching, and you'll get so angry at the United States government, you won't even sleep that night when you read Steve Cubby's story in my book. And this guy is alive today because of marijuana. And I will tell you this, me personally, this is why I'm on the bandwagon heavy now. My life would not be, I would not have the life that I have right now if it wasn't for marijuana.
We'll talk about that. Cubby, of course.
Well, I won't talk a great deal on specifics because I don't like to discuss anyone else's health issues.
I understand, and you're not running for office, so I'm not pushing you on that.
Right, but this person developed a seizure disorder later in life and was seizing 3 to 4 times a week, and they put the person on 4 different pharmaceutical prescription drugs, one after the other after the other. None of them worked. The seizures were increasing. The person finally went to Colorado, because Minnesota didn't have legal marijuana yet for medical, went to Colorado, broke the law, managed to get drops under the tongue. You don't even smoke it.
That's right.
And the seizures now have stopped for 2 years and completely weaned off all the pharmaceutical pills, which had huge side effects. And now it is legal in Minnesota, and the person gets it by pill form and simply takes 2 pills a day and does not have seizures, which would have occurred 3 to 4 times a week.
And some people have had brain tumors shrink or go away.
Yep.
By using the same thing.
Yep. And the point is, what people don't realize if they read history, marijuana and hemp were the foundation of this country for its first 160 years of existence. It's all in my book. The British needed it for sails and all their rope and for their ships and their big armada. They didn't have the space to grow it, so they forced the United States to grow them marijuana hemp and then ship it over. You could actually barter then and pay the British in hemp rather than money.
Well, and in the states that have legalized marijuana, it's a $6 billion industry already.
The first windfall from the state of Washington that I heard about judicial budget has fallen 15%.
Wow.
Now, in terms of a major department, I can tell you as a governor, that's mammoth. A 15% drop. Why? They're not prosecuting. You said it at the top of your show. All the people in jail for a plant. And they're not prosecuting it anymore, so they save 15%. Colorado this year has $300 million new dollars to spend. And they're spending it on schools, and they're spending it on construction. All from the legalization of marijuana. And I don't know if you saw, did you see Brian Gunn's special on HBO?
No, I did not see that yet.
Great piece. They went to Mile High Stadium because tailgating has changed now. Everybody smokes pot now instead of drink. And they asked the people, is it better or worse? The people said, it's way better. Nobody's fighting. Nobody's throwing up. You used to get here at 8:30 in the morning and start drinking. And now they get there at 11 o'clock, they smoke pot, eat their burgers, and watch the game. They've even put a dispensary right across the parking lot from Mile High Stadium. And ironically, they go in there, and they asked them, well, how's business? They said, well, we don't get many Coloradoans because they already have it. We all get the visiting team.
Yeah, exactly. People are flocking to Colorado.
A Baltimore Raven fan comes in. Well, the fun part is, in the end of the story, they went to Peyton Manning, not on camera. And Manning, you know, is perfect. He's your perfect athlete. Never says anything wrong. They asked Peyton, and Peyton's the part owner of 19 pizza franchises in Colorado.
That's right.
Papa John's. And they asked Peyton about it, and here's what his answer was great. Peyton said, in light of certain changes in the law, he said, my pizza stores are doing fantastic. And I thought, what a perfect answer.
It was.
You know, he didn't even say the word. All he said was, recent changes in the law. But it's ridiculous. This is our economy needs a boost, and this is an industry waiting to happen. Medically, clothing, biodiesel fuel, the list goes on and on and on. And it's a renewable resource that grows 15 feet every summer. And people believe this country was formed in the South by cotton. No, it wasn't. It was formed by marijuana.
Marijuana, hemp, and it was Hearst got rid of hemp, didn't he?
The cotton gin was discovered and created.
I was told that Hearst, who owned all the forests for paper, got hemp removed because hemp was being used as paper, and he wanted his trees and wanted to make a profit.
You're right on. William Randolph Hearst, the billionaire paper owner who owned, and then he wrote articles. He's the one that spurred reefer madness and all this crazy stuff in the 30s where marijuana had been legal all the way up till then, and that he used his newspapers to write articles that marijuana was as bad as heroin. Oh, and by the way, all the states now that have legalized marijuana, they've seen heroin usage drop.
That's a great statistic.
And what that shows is the lie that's been perpetrated, where they try to tell you that marijuana is the gateway drug to heavier drugs. No, it's not. It's the drug that'll be used instead of those heavy drugs.
Is there a conflict with the feds and the states over this?
Well, very much so. See, the feds were the ones that got lobbied by Hearst to make it illegal. Now the states are all legalizing. That's the way it's going to become legal, George. People are voting it state by state, and I urge people to vote yes. This is a resource that can save our country, believe it or not. And for those that are patriotic, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Betsy Ross's flag are all made out of marijuana.
My last count, I've got...
That shows you marijuana was the backbone of the country's economics way back in the days of George Washington and Tom Jefferson when this country was formed.
I've got 25 states, there could be more, that have legalized medical marijuana and Washington, D.C., and there are more states coming on board. I know, like I was mentioning, Missouri's going to probably have it on the ballot this year. We're going to come back with more with Jesse Ventura in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Jesse Ventura with us. His latest book is Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto. Jesse, ironically, you were talking about Gary Johnson. He has bought more political time on our program than any of the other candidates.
Well, probably a very smart move, George, because I would think that a great deal of people who would support Gary Johnson would listen to your show.
That's a good point. I think you're right.
I think it's targeted. You know, he doesn't have all the dirty money, and he doesn't, you know, take from PACs or special interest and all that stuff. So he probably has to be very intelligent on and target his money to places where people will be, and people that listen to your show are going to be people, I would assume, who are going to get out and vote.
Yes, they sure will. Passionate.
You know, and so it's a smart move, I think, on his part very much.
You do know this was your year. Had you decided to run, and we've talked about you would have had your shot.
I gave it a very long, hard decision because the Libertarians invited me twice. And here's what it came down to. I'm 65 now. I was up for the race. I would shame them into forcing me to get in the debates.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I do that?
Body slam them. No, I'm kidding.
I would challenge them and say, you two want to be the commander-in-chief of our military, and yet you don't even have the courage to debate me?
Good point.
And I'm a veteran.
That's right.
So how dare you think you have the courage to command the military if you don't even have the courage to debate me and allow me in? And I think you could shame Trump into doing it.
I think so, too. I think he'd let you.
I think he would bring you in. But anyway, though, I made the hard decision. I was up for the race. I was up to debate them and all that. But I couldn't go 100% that I wanted to do the job afterward. And if you're not in 100%, you're not only cheating yourself, you're cheating everybody that voted for you. You have to, in a job like that, be committed 100%. And I couldn't change my lifestyle and go back to that. I don't want to give up Mexico. When I live down there off the grid, I mm-hmm. love it too much. And so it was a personal decision. My wife did not want me to do it. And she's been with me 41 years now, so she carries power. And so it was a personal decision. But, you know, you never say never, George. 4 years from now, let's say Hillary wins and everyone's still ticked off, maybe you could come in and knock her off 4 years from now, or whoever does will prevail in this thing.
Well, Jesse, I got to tell you, your views are phenomenal. I wish somebody would tap into your brain for a lot of the things we're talking about. Jeez.
I only laugh because the funny part about it is I only went to high school.
I remember you saying that you read more books now because you're off the grid than you did in school.
I go off the grid in the wintertime, and I don't have TV, so I probably read 17 books a winter. I could tell you in my formal education of kindergarten through a senior in high school, I don't think I read 17 books all the way through. I mean, that would be more than a book a year. But, you know, I'm street smart. I went in the United States Navy at age 18. I did 2 deployments to Southeast Asia, 17 months of my life over there. And, you know, I went on the road in wrestling, and I made it to all 50 states physically, set foot in every state. It was a goal I had, and I accomplished it years ago. So, you know, it's like when and ironically, George, here I am with only a high school diploma, and yet I teach at Harvard.
I know. Isn't that amazing? You pinch yourself saying what you've done.
I go to probably the greatest college in the world, maybe, with the intellects. And they're smart enough that, like I told the kids there at the John F. Kennedy School of Government, and by the way, I'll brag a little, I have the biggest classes in Harvard history.
I love your thought pattern. I do.
But I told the kids there, I said, look, Harvard is going to teach you the theory of government. Learn it well. I said, I'm here to teach you the reality of government, because theory and reality may be two different things.
You know, getting back to your marijuana manifesto, of the states that have legalized it for medical purposes, I don't have the numbers on how many states have legalized marijuana for recreational purposes.
But it's 5 or 6 now.
That's it. Okay.
And let me state this. As my good friend Tommy Chong says, there should be no distinction between medical and recreational, because the people that smoke it for the euphoric feeling are doing it for mental health. I'd rather smoke pot than take Prozac.
Yep, absolutely.
And so people that smoke it to get the feeling like, okay, you come home from a long day's work. How come it's okay to have a glass of wine and relax before dinner, but it ain't okay to smoke a joint?
Or a cigarette, or a cigar.
Yeah. What's the difference?
Let me ask you, Jesse. Somebody comes up to you and says, oh, my God, you're endorsing drugs. How can you do this? What do you say to them?
Well, I say to them, first of all, addiction should be treated medically, not criminally, because I would look at them and say, do you drink coffee every morning? And do you need it? And most people will say, yes. Well, caffeine, that's a drug.
It is a drug.
And imagine tomorrow, George, if you could magically close every Starbucks and every coffee joint in America, what type of rebellion there would be tomorrow morning.
And take coffee off the shelves at the supermarkets.
Exactly. What would happen in the United States if all of a sudden coffee, which caffeine is a drug, it's speed, were removed and they said you cannot have it anymore? It's like this, George. I grew up in the 60s when rock and roll started off. You know, Woodstock was my year of high school, all that. And here's my quote. Marijuana is to rock and roll what beer is to baseball. So imagine if they took away beer at the ball game.
Oh, or hot dogs.
Exactly.
Same thing.
Keep it with the drugs. If they took away, what kind of outrage would there be? Yet rock and roll has always had prevalent marijuana. In the 60s, you could go there with nothing. And people just lit joints and send them down the aisle. And nobody got hurt.
You remember when we were kids, they used to say that marijuana would lead you to heroin and cocaine.
And it's the exact opposite. Every state that has legalized marijuana, those 6 for, quote, recreational, they've seen heroin usage drop.
Which I think is phenomenal to let it drop.
The point is, it's a lie. And here's a big thing, too, George. Okay, the DEA comes out and classifies marijuana just a couple weeks ago and says it's still up with heroin. Here's my point. Marijuana is the only substance where law enforcement gets to make the determination.
Correct.
Why aren't the politicians who are elected by the people making no other laws? You don't see the cops telling you what laws to pass. They're there to serve and carry them out. They're not there to dictate them. Yet in the case of marijuana, the DEA is the prevailing government body, and the problem is, George, they profit from keeping it illegal.
That's right. I have gone on a limb, Jesse, to say that we should legalize all drugs.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly, because the fact is, all addiction needs to be treated medically, not criminally. As I made the statement before, you got all these people addicted to caffeine. You got people, obese people, they're addicted to food. They can't stop eating. Addiction is something that is a disease, and it should be treated accordingly. As far as heroin and things like that go, if they had a place to get it where you know it's safe, well, then you have a means to cure them. They're not out committing crimes to support their habit, buying it. The minute you prohibit something, it's going to be run by criminals. Did you know right now the war on drugs in Mexico, in the same years that we've been fighting in Iraq and Iran, more people have died in Mexico in the war on drugs?
That's right. It's scary there.
Oh, thousands. And all because of our demand for these drugs. Because there wouldn't be cartels, there wouldn't be drugs coming into this country if people didn't want them and desire them. So why not bring it above board, legalize it, control it like you do alcohol? My mother. My mother lived through the prohibition of alcohol. She was a nurse, World War II veteran. And she told me before she passed away, she said, the war on drugs is identical to the prohibition of alcohol. All you're doing is making criminals rich and powerful.
Absolutely. And people were able to drink as much as they wanted, Jesse.
And here's the deal. Who do you think created Tijuana and all these border towns? They all came out of the prohibition of alcohol because everybody'd run over the border to drink. So Mexico can thank us for the prohibition, for all the problems they have in these border towns like Tijuana and all that. So it's not always the Mexicans' fault, it's ours. We're the consumer of the drugs. And like today, the cartels aren't dealing. The pot is dropped to one-third, and they're dealing more in meth and heroin now.
That's right.
Because marijuana you can get in the United States now, and it's better, and it's, you know, all of that. It's a higher quality. Instead of drinking Budweiser, you're drinking a craft beer.
Well, and I've got to tell you, methamphetamine is addictive, heroin is addictive, cocaine is addictive. And all that is coming in, and we're arresting people who are addicts, and we should just legalize it. The war on drugs is not working, and help these people and try to get them off it. I don't think legalizing those other drugs will increase drug usage at all.
Not a bit. Your biggest epidemic today is opiates from the doctor. The pharmaceutical opiates that killed Prince.
By the way, more people die from prescription drugs than just about anything in a hospital.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The fatality rate is astounding. And yet, they're not, you know, it's okay. I mean, I always laugh. Look at, you know, I've had well water my whole life. But in the 1950s, they decided to put fluoride in all public water.
That's
right.
You know
who thought of that first? The Nazis.
That's right. No.
No. I don't particularly like to do much of anything the Nazis did.
And wasn't fluoride...
The name Nazi, I don't particularly like... I'm fond of hearing what's coming next. But the reason is fluoride is the 90% ingredient of Prozac.
I'm in St. Louis right now. I go back and forth, as you know, between St. Louis and Los Angeles.
Sure.
And we got a boil order today from the water company because they had a power outage, which I've been talking about protecting our grid, but they had a power outage and they said the water could be contaminated. We're not sure, but don't drink it and everybody boil it. Like 85,000 customers. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, like I said, fluoride in your water is that you're drinking Prozac every day. And what do they use Prozac for? To keep you calm, right?
That's right. Dumb you down.
To sedate you. And that sedates the masses. Well, I mean, why do they have to put fluoride in your water? Brainerd, Minnesota tried not to do it a number of years ago, a couple decades ago. The feds came in and made them.
We get a lot of listeners, Jesse, from Canada. I mean, lots of stations up there listening to you right now. I think medical marijuana in Canada is legal, but recreation is not at this point. Is that correct?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
With the U.S., so I don't know.
I'm pretty sure that medical marijuana is completely legal in Canada, but recreational... They're gonna plan on legalizing it next year, so they're ahead of the game.
Oh yeah, everybody is. The U.S. is losing out. These are jobs waiting to happen. It's an industry waiting out there. As I said, it was the backbone of our country. If you read my book, for 160 years, marijuana and hemp was the economic boom of the United States of America, and we saw America grow. We saw America get greater and better. Why would we then take it away? And for all the religious people out there, excuse me, if you believe in God, then you believe God made marijuana, and he had to have made it for a purpose, didn't he?
Jesse, give us your bullet point reasons on why you think marijuana should be legalized for medical purposes and recreational purposes.
Well, to me, like Tommy Chong said, you don't separate them, because the people that smoke it for the euphoric feeling are doing it for mental health. And the easy thing is, number one, economic-wise, we need jobs. We need to create new industry out there. Plus, it's such a renewable resource. Willie Nelson runs his buses on biodiesel fuel from marijuana. You know, it's there for the taking. Paper, clothing, the medical seems no endless. Glaucoma, seizures, it's stopping cancer. And when Hillary Clinton comes out and says, well, I need to see more studies, that is the biggest cop-out going, because there's the Cannabis University in Israel who we fund. The United States funds it. And there's a doctor there who's the total guru of marijuana. He said it can also help concussions with these football players, and it can also help post-traumatic stress from military guys coming back from these damn wars that we're fighting in the Middle East. And so with all of these positives, how on earth can we not want to legalize it now? And not only that, but for all Americans out there, let's take back our country, because the politicians and the government's not going to do it. We have to. Let's exercise our power and show them. Right now, over half of America wants it fully legalized.
Let's and that's growing.
Do it.
And that's growing. Would you put a minimal age on it? 18, 21, something like that?
Put it on it just like you do booze. Treat it the same way as alcohol.
Same with driving. You know what? Do you get impaired when you drive, or are you sharper?
Chances are you'll drive slower, which is safer.
Yeah. Unless you're doing 20 on the freeway.
You know, well, like anything, you should never be impaired with anything when you drive. You shouldn't be texting on the freeway. You shouldn't be talking on cell phones. You should be paying attention to driving. But again, that's an individual. We don't need the government mandating everything. George, in what we're supposed to live in a free society. How can you commit a crime against yourself in a free society?
That's right. I have an old friend. She was a...
If you choose to ingest a drug, well, here's the deal with freedom. And I said this when I was governor. Freedom comes with a price, because you have to accept freedom as a whole, and part of that freedom is the freedom to be stupid. And I always stated as governor, you can't legislate stupidity. People are going to do stupid things, and you can't make every stupid thing against the law.
I have an old friend. She's going to be 80 in December, Jesse. She's a jazz trumpeter. And she knew Louis Armstrong, said he was always on pot before a performance because he felt it made him sharper.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, for whatever reasons, smoke marijuana. And, like, you know, in the evening after a hard day's work, it calms you down. It does this and that. And it's truly a harmless drug when you compare it to all the others. I mean, we have tobacco out there where it's highly addictive, and when used properly, the end result is death.
That's true. Jesse, we're going to take a quick break. Sure. We've got you for one more hour. We're going to open up the phone lines. And folks, those of you who call in, questions with Jesse, but also if you're living in a state that has legalized marijuana, in some form or fashion, check in with us. Let us know what's going on with that. If you have smoked it and you don't want your name mentioned, that's good too. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial.